Hey, if you're joining us online, we're glad that you are part of our online family. Wherever you're watching from, let us know how we can pray for you or how we can serve you. We want you to know that we're for you. Amen? Amen. Hey, today we're starting a brand new series called Make It Fun. Everyone say, make it fun. Make it fun. Now turn to someone next to you and say, make it fun. Now turn to your second choice and say, make it fun. Make it fun. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 in the Old Testament, verse 15 is going to be our theme verse for the series. This is an amazing verse that I'll be willing to bet that 90% of you didn't know was even in the Bible. So turn to someone next to you and say, I didn't know this was in there. This is what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 15. He says this. He says, so I recommend having fun. That's in the Bible. Did you know that? Now, see, some of you grew up thinking, fun in the Bible? That's not in there. Yeah, Solomon says, I recommend having fun because there is nothing better. Nothing better. There is no thing better. He says, I recommend having fun because there's no thing better than for people in this world to eat and to drink and to enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work that God gives them under the sun. This series is about adding some joy to our journey. How many of you could use some joy in your life right now? Anybody? A few of you? I know for me, I my prayer this entire pandemic has been, God, please keep my joy up high when the rest of the world's trying to drag me down low. Amen? And I don't know about you, but for the past 18 months, this has been a rough journey. I don't know if anyone that's like walked through these past 18 months and they're feeling like, man, I'm in a better place today than I was 18 months ago. Maybe there are some people, they're really super spiritual people. They don't go to our church, by the way. But for the rest of us, right? Come on. For the rest of us, it's like, I don't think I'm in a better place today 18 months later than I was but before this whole thing. And I had to get honest with Cheryl the other day. I was like, you know, I just felt like I need to confess to her. I was like, Cheryl, I need you to kind of, you know, check in on me because I know I'm getting depleted personally because I'm not enjoying things the way that I used to. Maybe you can relate to that. That when slowly, all of a sudden, over time, it's like, I'm not enjoying the things that I used to enjoy. It's not bringing joy to my life. And that's like, that's a telltale sign, is it not? That's a telltale sign that, man, you're getting depleted. You're getting low. I know that COVID can leave people gasping for breath. But I also know that spiritually right now and emotionally right now, people are starving for oxygen right now. And that's what this series is really birthed out of, is God, just give us some new breath. Give us some new life. Give us a new song to put in our hearts and to sing with our lungs, right? That's what this came out of, because every single person in here today wants to enjoy their life, right? We all want to enjoy our lives, but not everyone knows how to enjoy their life. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series, is we all want to enjoy life, but not all of us know how to enjoy our lives. We all haven't stopped and thought and spent time reflecting and before God trying to figure out, how do I put myself in the right place mentally? How do I put myself in the right place emotionally, spiritually, even physically? How do I put myself in position myself to actually experience the joy of the Lord as I go through this journey that we call life? And here's why I believe the scripture that we just read from Ecclesiastes, even though it's kind of tucked away, an obscure verse, this is why I think it's so foundational for where we're going, is because if fun is way down the list of your values, if fun is way down here at the bottom, kind of, if there's anything left over, yeah, we'll have some, if that's where fun is on your value list, then guess what you're not going to have a lot of in this life? You're not going to have much fun, are you? If your value system is work, 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 produce, 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 achieve, 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 climb the ladder, climb the ladder, climb the ladder. If that is your value system, then guess what you're not going to have? You're not going to have fun. You're not going to enjoy your life, and you probably won't even enjoy the success that you've achieved. Know anyone like that? That from the outside, they've achieved it all. They got all the nice toys, and they live in the nice house, and they got all the nicest clothes, but they look miserable. It's because of this, that everyone wants to enjoy their life, and everyone knows how to enjoy their life. But I'm telling you, if you believe this verse, if you really believe in your heart of hearts that there is nothing better, someone say nothing better. If there is nothing better than to have fun, if that's what you believe in your heart of hearts, then you've at least taken the first step to be able to enjoy the life that God has given you. I want to be clear about this, because I know some of you are sitting there thinking to yourself right now, Pastor Brian, do you need a vacation? Because this is a little bit weird. like we talked about parenting, okay, and we've talked about a lot of great things this year, but we haven't talked about fun, okay? This seems kind of trivial. Like, do you need a break? Listen to me. I want to be clear about what the Bible says here. The Bible doesn't say that this is the only thing. Solomon doesn't say this is the only thing. No. He just says that this is, there's nothing better than this thing. It's not the only thing. There's just nothing better than this thing. He's saying that, hey, there's nothing better than having fun while you're working hard. There's nothing better than having fun while you're getting your kids ready for school. Amen. There is nothing better than having fun when you're in church. There's nothing better when you're out serving someone in the community. There's nothing better. He's saying there's no better ingredient. You don't want a meal with just one ingredient, do you? I don't care if it's the best ingredient on God's green earth. Give me like your favorite go-to ingredient in food. Okay. Give me another ingredient. Give me some ingredients. Garlic? Okay, yeah, give me some other ones. Bacon, hallelujah! Praise Jesus in heaven. She said bacon. No one said chocolate in here? Thank you, chocolate! Okay, now, you don't want a meal with just one ingredient, no matter how good that meal is. No, you want a variety of ingredients like salt and acid and fat and heat. Those things go together to make a perfect meal. Now, let's say you're having a pizza. You don't want just a cheese pizza. I got news for you. That ain't pizza, y'all. Cheese is not a pizza. Cheese is an ingredient that goes on a pizza that makes a good pizza when you add a bunch of other ingredients. But you don't want just one ingredient. So my point is this. Don't get yourself in a frame of mind in this life to where you only live for one thing, right? Unless that's Jesus, amen? But don't get pigeonholed where you only want one thing. Solomon's saying that this is an essential ingredient to the life that God created you for, but it's not the only ingredient, all right? So I want to give you four things today, without much introduction. I just want to give you four things as we kind of begin to build this theology of fun. Because for most of us, we've never heard a message about fun in church. probably never heard a message on fun in church. I want to kind of begin to build a foundation this week that we build on in the coming weeks. It's going to be a three-week series. I encourage you right now, see if something doesn't rise up inside of you today that says, you know what, we're going to be here for the next 2 weeks of this. So you can be a part of this. It's going to build, but I want to give you a foundation today. As we build a theology of fun, the first thing to write down is this, is that fun has to be intentional. Fun has to be intentional. Now, do certain things happen in life that we weren't expecting and all of a sudden you're laughing and having fun? Yeah, absolutely. And so sometimes fun just hits you. Sometimes it hits you upside the face. It's like, oh, that's hilarious. And you weren't planning on having a fun moment at that time, but something happens. And it's like, oh, this is awesome. This is funny. This is hilarious. This is, right? So yes, sometimes unexpectedly fun happens. But what I hope we learn about fun today is this, is that there's fun that happens to you and there's fun that happens through you. And fun that happens through you will never happen unless we're intentional about it. If you only depend on fun that happens to you, you're not going to have as much fun. And here's why. Because you're depending on everyone else around you to bring the fun. And when you go hang out with family, you're expecting them to bring the fun. When you go hang out with these people, you're expecting them to bring the fun. When you're on some kind of work trip, you're expecting them to bring the fun. When you come to church, you're expecting us to bring the fun, right? Let me tell you, if that's kind of the way you go through life, you're going to have not as much fun as someone who's intentional about, you know what, I'm going to bring the fun with me. Like wherever I go, I'm bringing the fun with me. That's how you enjoy the life that God has given us. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself right now, Pastor Brian, this sounds cool and all, but I have zero idea what you're talking about right now. What does this look like? Let me tell you what this looks like. What this looks like is unless we make it fun, the most meaningful things in life will never be fun. Unless we make it fun, the most meaningful things in life will never be fun. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and go to a thing called work, for most of us, right? You will spend 90,000 hours. 90,000 hours in your lifetime on average at work. And if your attitude is, man, I hate this place, I hate this job, I hate my boss, I hate these morons that I work with, I hate everything about this, there is nothing in this that is even remotely fun, then guess what you're going to have zero of at work in those 90,000 hours? Fun, right? If that's your attitude, I'm not going to have any fun here, then you're not. You're working for the weekend. My point is the most meaningful things in life, they become a burden and they become drudgery unless we make them fun, unless we're intentional about making them fun. Things like education, work, raising our kids, the important things in life, like, you know, home ownership and saving money and building relationships and exercise. I could go on and on the list. Unless we're intentional about making it fun, then it's never going to be fun. Bringing your tithe into the local church, not going to be fun unless you make it fun. Getting up early and serving other people on a Sunday morning, not going to be fun unless you what? Unless you make it fun. I'm going to be honest with you right now. Getting up and reading my Bible. Now, is it important to read God's word? Is it important to understand the promises that he's given us? Absolutely. It's vital to your faith. But unless we make it fun and unless we enjoy the process, it's going to become a burden. And can I submit that maybe the reason that more of us don't read God's word is because it's not fun. We don't enjoy the process. We haven't brought fun to it, and so we try to avoid it. My point is, in everything in life, the most meaningful things in life are never going to be fun if we don't bring fun into it. Basically, what's going to happen is you're going to try to circumvent all those things. And this is why, let's get honest, this is why all of us are looking for the next quick fix in dieting. Right? This is why every single one of us are looking for the next quick fix to lose a few pounds or the next quick thing to what? Make some money, right? Why are we always looking to a quick fix to lose some weight or make some money? It's because we have not made it fun. We have not made the meaningful things in life. We have not made the process fun. And as a result, we try to circumvent that. But if you are intentional about bringing the fun to the situation, bringing fun into the thing, then you're going to be able to experience joy. You're going to be able to experience happiness along with the hard work that God has given you. That's what Solomon was talking about. Turn to someone next to you and say, let's make it fun. Let's make it fun. This summer, we launched an initiative that we hope becomes a movement that takes on a life of its own called For Pasco. For so long, the church in our country has been known for what we are against, not what we are for. So we are on a mission as a church to let Pasco County know that we are for them, that there are some people that are for them. And so we're challenging each other to ask the question to our neighbors and to the community, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And the hope of this is that we create common ground, that creates some conversations, that eventually creates some connection to God's love. So we're paying it backwards in the drive-thru line. Some of you guys have been doing that. We're trying to support first responders. We're, you know, bringing supplies to local schools. We're trying to love on our neighbors. And you can look at all those things that we're trying to do, and I'm up here trying to rah, 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 and get us motivated for this great cause. And you're sitting in your seat, and one response could be, you know what, Pastor Brian, that's going to be money and time I don't have. That doesn't sound like fun to me. That's one response. Another response could possibly be, hey, you know what? This is awesome. We're going to get together and we're going to have some fun and we're going to make a difference in our corner of this community. Because Pasco County, it needs Jesus Christ. Pasco County needs the love of God. There are people out in our community right here that are literally dying because they don't have any hope in their lives. They don't think that anyone is for them, and we get to do that. Jesus said you'll be the light of the world, but you won't be the light of the world if this is how you respond to it. Oh, fine. Oh, that thing again, For Pasco. You know how you become the light of the world? You shine. That's how you become the light of the world. And serving is one of those things that either we can have the attitude of, you know what, this is a burden, this is burdensome, so you just try to avoid it altogether, or we can be like, you know what, we get to serve and we're going to make it fun. Are you with me so far? So Solomon says there's nothing better for you as a person. There's nothing better for you and your family. There's nothing better for your marriage. There's nothing better for your career than to have fun. But the only way that this works is we are intentional about making it fun. Otherwise, we're going to avoid the most meaningful things in life. Number two is this. Write this down. Fun is spiritual. Write that down. Fun is spiritual. It's intentional, and it's got to be intentional, and it's also spiritual. Here's what I know. Some of you read that and you're like, this doesn't seem right. This seems sacrilegious almost. This seems like, are you a heretic, Pastor Brian? Like, fun is spiritual? And let's be honest, the more religious you are, the tougher this is to accept. Because if you grew up in a religious background, you learned that fun is carnal. Fun is sinful. Fun is secular. Fun is trivial. Ever meet someone like that? Okay, they got baptized in lemon juice. You don't meet many of those people at our church because usually they come in for one Sunday and never come back, right? They're like, oh, dear Jesus, I walked into the wrong church. We had a lady last Sunday that just got like 5 minutes in the service. She left, and I'm like, man, that's like a record. Like, I hadn't even got up to, I've had people walk out during my preaching. Like, that's happened before, but like, anyway. You won't meet them here because they don't last. But religious people, they don't think there's any value to fun. But here's what I want to tell you today is that fun is fuel for your spirit and food for your soul. There is nothing better for your soul. There is nothing better for your spirit to lift your spirit than to have fun. Proverbs 17:22 says this. A happy heart, and we'll say happy heart, is good medicine. And a joyful mind causes healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Here's what doctors tell us today. Doctors confirm what Solomon said thousands and thousands of years ago. That when you laugh, when you have a deep belly laugh, not one of these fake phony laughs like, not one of those, okay? But when you really laugh, like from the belly, that it actually causes your diaphragm to sink down into your body. It actually creates room in your lungs to be able to take in more oxygen. So more oxygen begins to flow into your bloodstream. When your diaphragm sinks down deep, it also expands to the right and to the left. And guess what it does? It actually begins to give your heart a massage. This is real. This is true. This is science. It begins to give your heart a massage. And guess what your heart now does? Your heart begins to beat faster and circulation begins to increase. This leads to your liver, stomach, pancreas, spleen, gallbladder. They all get stimulated and invigorated by this. It all goes back to what Aristotle said 2,000 years ago, that it is that laughter is a bodily exercise precious to health. But doctors also confirm what this verse says in the negative, that emotions can kill us. Emotions can make your hair fall out, lead to splitting headaches, clog nasal passages, lead to asthma and allergies, tighten your throat with laryngitis, make your skin break out in a rash, cause your teeth to drop out, give you ulcers. For women, it can cause miscarriages, and for men, it can cause impotence. Emotions can kill. But let's dig a little deeper. When I say that fun is spiritual, here's what I mean by this. I can't give you a box of fun today. You can't go on Amazon this afternoon, put a box of fun into your cart, hit the button, and then 2 days later, a box of fun shows up on your front doorstep. Like money can't buy happiness, right? Money can't buy fun. Now, does money help? Absolutely. Like, if you don't think money can help have fun, then you don't go to the right places, right? You don't shop at the right stores, don't vacation at the right spots if you don't think that money can help you have fun. But money can't buy it. Because we know lots of people who have a lot of money that seem miserable, and you've seen people that have very little, if no money, and they seem to be some of the happiest people on earth. It's because fun is spiritual. That last verse that we looked at, it says that laughter and joy, it gets us through the tough times, that it's a good medicine. But here's what I know. Some of you walked in, and the moment I started talking about having fun today, a spirit came over you that was like, Pastor Brian, I don't know what it's like in your little pastor world. But in my life right now, things suck, okay? Like, my marriage is difficult. My work is miserable. I'm worried to death about my kids. My world is upside down right now. And I'm like, exactly. That's why I beg you, don't put up a wall today and kind of keep me out from the truth of this, that fun and that laughter, that it brings healing, that it's fuel for your spirit and food for your soul. You've experienced this. You've experienced how laughter is good medicine. I guarantee you, every single one of you have had this happen to you. You've been in a funeral home or you've been in the hospital somewhere dealing with one of the most difficult and painful situations of your life. But then somehow in the pain and sadness, laughter found its way in. Someone shared a memory, someone shared a story, and all of a sudden it's a smile, and then there's a giggle, and as people embrace it and give themselves permission, what happens there in the funeral home or in the hospital room? What begins to happen? Irrational joy, laughter begins to erupt, and it would have been crazy that if you walked out to get a cup of coffee and you walked back in the room, you'd be like, what in the world has happened in here? It's a rational joy, right? Heaviness begins to lift, and you aren't even smoking anything. Like no one passed around a bag, you know? No one went to the store and got some bottles. This is the power of laughter and joy. It gets into your spirit. Don't underestimate the spiritual nature and the power of laughter and joy. I saw this quote a while back, and I thought it was so helpful. This has been getting me through the last few weeks, but the quote is this. That it's not, put it up there. There it is. It's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way that you carry it. And that's so true. It's not the load oftentimes in life that breaks you down. It's the way in which you carry it. I said before that about a month or so ago, I kind of hit a low point. There was just a lot of stuff going on. We had a lot of people that were sick and in the hospital, some very serious. There was a lot of stuff going on here at church. It was a busy season. My kids were back in school last year. Cheryl homeschooled our girls, and so they're back in the classroom this year. So there was the stress of that. And just you turn on the news, and it's like every day it's like gloom and doom and, you know, just a lot of stuff going on. And so I found myself using this quote right here as my self-talk. I'm like, okay, Brian, it's not the load that breaks you down. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. It's the way you carry it. So, Brian, carry it well. Carry it well. Don't get overwhelmed because God is your help and God is your strength. You're stronger than you think. Carry it well. Turn to someone next to you and say, carry it well. Carry it well. There's a passage in the book of Nehemiah that we're going to come back to in week 3 of this series and kind of unpack it a little bit more. But in this verse we're going to look at, this is a time in the nation of Israel's history where they had been overcome by their enemies, and part of the people were taken away in captivity, part of the people remained. Either way, Jerusalem is laid in ruins, the walls are all down, they're defenseless, and so Nehemiah miraculously is allowed to come back and lead the rebuilding process, he and Ezra the priest. And so when they finally get the walls back up and they put the last gate on the hinge, Nehemiah says, all right, it's time to party. It's time to party. Look what Nehemiah tells them. He says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Hashtag for Jerusalem, I guess, right? I appreciate the laugh. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah said, I know we've got a lot of heaviness going on in our lives, a lot of heaviness going on in our country. Sound familiar? But he says, today, on this day, I want you guys to enjoy yourselves. And he commands them to party. He says, today is not a day to grieve. Today is not a day to lament. Today is the day to celebrate and to have a good time. And he says that that party is holy. Now, compare that to what religion makes us feel so many times. Religion comes along and makes us feel like the more solemn we are, and the more serious we are, and the quieter we are, and the more heavy burdened we are, the more spiritual we are. And our boy Nehemiah's like, no! Throw a party! Go get yourself some food, get some drinks, and we are going to dance and we are going to sing because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Is this helping anybody? Is this resonating with anybody? I know it's a shallow topic. It seems so shallow talking about fun, but is this resonating with you? When laughter comes in, when it becomes a part of your interactions, when fun is something that you take with you, that the fun happens through you, not just to you, I'm telling you, healing, power, beauty, strength, wholeness, wellness, everything comes in. Everyone say, make it fun. Number three is this. Fun is relational. Fun is relational. It has to be intentional, it's spiritual, and it is relational. What do I mean? Fun brings people together. And one of the things that we have missed over the last 18 months is people coming together. Fun brings people together. So whether you are single or married, whether you have kids, don't have kids, grandkids, let's go back to being single for a second. If you are single today and don't want to be single, if you are single and ready to mingle, amen, then I'm just going to politely say this. Check your face. Right? Do you smile? Are you happy? Do you bring joy with you when you go into a situation? I'm just saying, it might help. It might help. A new Tinder profile picture might help, but this might too. Right? This might too. Everyone say smile. Now, it's funny because I just told you to put fun on your face, but I know you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, I can't just do that. I can't just put fun on my face and tell myself, okay, face, be fun. Right? Like I just had some work done. Hi. But do you know what every single one of us as parents, do you know what every single one of us as parents have told our kids at some point in their parenting journey? We have looked at our kids and we have said this. You wipe that what? You wipe that look off your face right now. So mom and dad, let's take our own medicine. If we think it's a choice for our kids, then it's a choice for us. And it can be done. And here's what's crazy. If you will choose to put fun on your face and you live your life with fun on your face, guess what you're going to get back from people? You're going to get fun. If you sow fun, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap fun. When you choose to make it fun, relationships get better, marriages get better, they get stronger, relationships with your kids get better. If mom and dad are playful, that when the kids come home, they can't wait to come play with mom and dad and wrestle and tickle until someone pees their pants. And like if that's the environment that you have in your home, then kids can't wait to come home. But if you're always serious and always somber and mom and dad are always worried about, are my kids going to be okay? And or what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if they get sick? And what if they get hurt over? Oh, no, you can't do that. You might get hurt. Mom and dad, you're not helping anything. If home is always serious and always somber, then guess what you're basically doing? You're pushing your kids out of your house to the neighbor's house that does have fun. That's all you're doing because fun is relational. Teams get better when teams have fun. This research has shown that when teams have fun together, they get more done, they're more productive, less turnover, more unity. And again, I'm not trying to be mean, but if you are here today and you feel like, you know what, Pastor Brian, I just don't have that many friends. And I don't feel like there's anyone that really cares about me. Listen, I am so sorry that you feel that way. And some of you may feel that way this morning. And I'm sorry that you feel that way. But I love you too much not to speak into your life just a little bit and just very gently push and say this. That maybe you should take what I'm talking about seriously. That maybe you've been drinking too much lemonade without any sugar. And if you would just lighten up just a little bit, come on. I'm not talking about being fake and pretending that life isn't hard and pretending that your marriage situation or work situation or situation with your kids or with an aging parent. I'm not talking about pretending that that's not hard. Yes, that's hard. I'm just saying that if you would lighten up just a little bit, then maybe more people would want to spend time in your airspace. Because fun is relational. And when you bring the fun, this also happens. Is that fun is also attractional. Write that down. Fun is attractional. It's got to be intentional, it's spiritual, it's relational, and it's attractional. Like I was talking about a house that's always fun. If you grew up in a house that was not fun, you probably had at least one friend who his house or her house was fun. Like they had cereal for dinner, y'all. It was like, whoa! What? Can we do this? This is crazy. If your home was not fun growing up, I guarantee you probably had a friend that their house was fun. Now, let me ask you, which house did you want to spend time in? You probably wanted to spend more time in your friend's house than you did in your own house because fun's attractional. That's what I'm talking about. If you've worked in an environment that was not fun and everyone there was miserable, and then you got the chance to go visit someone else or work in a job that was fun and people had fun, and yeah, a lot of hard work got done, and yeah, you worked a lot of hours, but we had fun together. Which place do you choose even if the fun one offers less money? You go to the fun one, don't you? Because fun is attractional. Let's bring it to church. There is nothing better for a church than to have fun. There is nothing better. So many Christians today are too serious. So many churches today are too serious. There is nothing better than having fun because I guarantee you people are not attracted to funerals on Sunday mornings. Especially when no one that they know died. But listen to me, Jesus is alive and we have hope and he is a good father and we have every reason to sing and every reason to dance and to celebrate and to be thankful. We have every reason to make it fun. So we just decided when we started the church, it's okay to have fun in church. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to tell really silly, corny jokes. It's okay to hug each other and to high-five each other and to embrace each other. It's okay to put a smile on your face and to have fun. Next week, speaking of having fun, we're going to have a giant water slide out here and snow cones. It'd be a great Sunday to invite some friends to come to. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to be talking about Jesus and fun. Did Jesus have fun? Did Jesus think fun was good? Well, we're going to get into that, because for so many of us that have any kind of religious background, we kind of grew up with this idea that needs to be shattered, that being playful and light and enjoying life, there's something wrong with that. We need to learn how we can participate in lightening things and having some levity in our hearts when it comes to our own house and even in God's house. I'll wrap up with this. Jesus said that we are the light of the world, that we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. What was Jesus doing when he said that? When Jesus said that we were the light of the world and the salt of the earth, he was painting a picture. He was painting a picture of something that was bright and something that was flavorful and something that was attractive and something that you would want to be a part of. Am I making any sense? He was painting a picture of something that was attractive, because no matter what you think of this message, no matter what you think of this topic, I've been praying that God would give you a revelation today that just might save your life. And I know you're thinking, but Pastor Brian, that seems really kind of like over the top. Like if we're talking about heaven or hell maybe or something like that, I can understand save your life. But I literally have been praying that God would use this to maybe save your life. Because when I look in people's eyes today, when I read what people are posting on social media, when I take the temperature of our culture, when I interact with people, this is what I see. That some people today are so melancholy and are so serious and are so overwhelmed that they are missing out on their what? They're missing out on their life. And so my prayer has simply been that Jesus would make it clear to you that he did not come to make you sad. He did not come to make you miserable. He came to give you life and to give you more of it. He came to give you life abundant. He didn't come to give you a heavier burden. He came to make your burden light. So let's make it fun, church. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we come before you today and we thank you for the chance to be in your house. We thank you that your house is a place where there can be fun. We thank you that we don't have to come in and pretend that we don't live through difficult times and through painful situations, that you haven't asked us to do some kind of cult-like thing where we just pretend that's not real. You became human and you embraced everything that we embrace. You embraced the brokenness and the sadness and the grief, but you brought joy with you. You brought joy with you into those situations. Father, may we be those kind of people that we don't deny reality, but we bring joy into it. The joy of the Lord will be our strength, Father. We need strength today, so give us joy. May we have joy in your house. May we have joy in our own house. May we be the kind of people that have joy on the inside that spills out onto the people around us. May people think that we're weird because we have the joy of the Lord. Father, we know this is possible because you are the one that turns graves into gardens. That you are the one that exchanges beauty for ashes. So, Father, today we stand in your house and we sing and we praise you for being that kind of God today.